Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 to 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 to 17. Remember the question. The question is, how can we bring glory to God? That's the question, and that's also the name of my sermon. So it's really important to understand that. How can we bring glory to God? Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 to 17, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16. It's first let the peace of God, and now it says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And then verse 17. The one is missing there, I see. It's not verse 7, it is verse 17, you can believe me. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Can we just black out there, Tinas? I want to know, there was one word that occurred in all three of those verses. What was the common denominator of those three verses? Thanks. Thankfulness. I'm going to speak on that this evening. It's not going to take long, but I want to talk about thankfulness. In verse 15, it says, and be thankful. In verse 16, it says, singing with thankfulness. Singing with thankfulness. And then in verse 17, it says, giving thanks through him. In other words, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. So we're going to talk about thanksgiving because it's an important thing, and it's an important theme that connects with this morning's sermon. Now, this morning's sermon was really challenging for so many people. It was. It was one of the sermons that just made me excited for the gospel. I just loved it. I just love the way Jesus Christ just looks you in the eye and challenges you. I just love it when Jesus comes and he does this with his foot. Wat 'n kant. I just love it when Jesus did that. In all his grace. And there's a lot of people that don't like it. And as I've said to Almer, you know, when we were praying through these past few weeks and these past few months, and we've been talking to a lot of people just about obedience and how God is making a shift in those who are being truly obedient and those who are being consumers. In other words, what can God give me? What can I get out of this whole deal? You know, that mentality. And it was just such a beautiful challenge as Jesus says, look, you guys, it's not about that. There's a way that you need to serve within the kingdom. And there's a way that you need to look at me. And you need to look me in the eye. And you need to realize that, you know, I'm not your china. Because Jesus and God is so many people's chinas. He's my china. We chill out. He's my homie. Yo, yo, what's up, Jesus? You know, they have that casual mentality when it comes to Jesus. And we smile and we laugh about it, but you know what? Sometimes, like this morning, it's really scary when gentle Jesus, meek and mild, has fiery eyes. And so this made me really excited because we've been praying for this and we've been asking God, just come and bring a shift. Not just within in church, just this whole region. And as we heard the stats say that 80% of people in South Africa are Christians. But now, how does thanks and thanksgiving connect with this morning? I'll tell you why. Look at the definition of thanksgiving. It is an expression of our dependence upon God and gratitude towards him. It's an expression of our dependence upon God and gratitude to him. That's thanksgiving. In other words, the first thing that we read and that we understand, a thankful heart overflows in expression of that thanks. Now, I must be honest with you. You don't see a lot of thankful Christians around nowadays. People say that they're thankful. Hulle sê hulle is dankbaar. But it doesn't overflow in their actions. Now, if you feel that I'm wrong, then obviously we can talk about it afterwards. But in my opinion, of what I see, you see, you can't be thankful just within your heart. You can't be thankful just within your mouth. Your actions, when people look at you, they must see, oh, this guy is a guy of word and deed. Indeed, he's thankful. And so that is the one thing that I was just want to leave with you. The second thing that's important for me, your attitude aligns with your actions. A thankful attitude that's aligned with the actions, that comes with a thankful heart. And so the reason why I just told the worship team when I was standing there, I'm just saying, God said, just one song and then just stop. Otherwise, we just sing songs. It's fine just singing songs. It's another thing from a place of thankfulness, bringing glory to God. So by now you can understand one of the ways that we can bring glory to God is to live thankful lives, which a lot of Christians don't. The third point there, contentment lies at the heart of living victoriously. It's a sign of maturity. Thankfulness is a sign of maturity. You know, I talk with so many people, and it's a real difficult time when people always talk about the things that they don't have. And they always pray about the things that they don't have. But we never say thank you to God for the things that we do have. We never say thank you. And when I talk to Christians, and now I understand why nobody wants to become a Christian. Because when they talk to us, we always talk about the stuff that we don't have. And who die land in sy kas is. And everything is just in his kas, you know. Everything is just so negative. And when you talk to people and you sit down and you say, now, just tell me, why are you not thankful to God for what God's doing? Because contentment is that place where you just say, God, wherever I am now within my life, I say thank you. God, I'm not ignoring my circumstances, but you know what? For wherever I am in my life now, I say thank you. And God, help me, because I need to reflect it within my actions. And it doesn't reflect within the church. In the church, we sit with a lot of people that just moan and grumble. And it's a sign of immaturity. The book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul, and the book of Colossians, he writes those epistles, those letters, he writes them in the jail. He says, be thankful. Now, for some of us, it's a challenge. And I'm throwing this at you because it's a serious thing. I'm throwing at you just so that we can see, God, are we really thankful for the things that you're doing for us? Let's move on quickly. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. It's a characteristic of the last days that people are unthankful. So many people just unthankful. Now it's very easy to just to read over that part. It's very easy to read the money thing, and I've been meditating on this scripture now for quite a long time. You've seen it in a lot of my sermons. So now I'm thankful. You know, I'm just thinking this through. It's a characteristic of the last days, and it's something that needs to change, people. So, practically, what are we going to do practically to challenge us with being unthankful and having thankful? Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11 to 12. Are you ready? The first one. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. In other words, Paul is telling the Corinthians, the way that you give to other people, and Paul is talking about finances here. Paul says the way that you give to other people, it will be an expression of your thanksgiving. Verse 12, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks. It's the cycle of blessing. In other words, when I use finances to bless other people, to bless the kingdom, then in God's eyes, in secret, blessing expressed in secret, I can just tell you this. There's much demonic activity around giving going on within the kingdom now. You know how many people are there, and we do it. You know, we want to tell God how we want to give, when we want to give, and how should we give. And when we have to give to people, we first want to know, how much must I give him? And for what must I give to him? The thing is, just give. When God says give. You don't ask questions, and you do it in secret. Nobody has to know about it, because in his expression of thanks, it's an expression of the heart. That's what God is talking about. And that is my challenge to all of us. An expression of thanks. You know why? Because when that person receives and brings glory to God, it brings a blessing again. David says it. Oh, the Lord, bless my soul. Give thanks to the Lord, my God and King. Your love endures forever. That thanksgiving that evolves in blessing comes back, where God blesses again, and then we give thanks to him. We give back again, and then it's a cycle. And so that cycle is broken because of we're not alert. It's demonic. And we need to zoom in on this. It's beautiful. The cycle of blessing expressed through thanksgiving. Isn't it a beautiful thing? Ephesians chapter 5 verse 4. Watch this. Though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, those who follow Jesus have better uses for language than that. Now watch this. Don't talk dirty or silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Thanksgiving is our dialect. I love that. That can be in a cool rap song. Thanksgiving is a dialect. I just love it. The way that we express ourselves. You know why David was a man after God's heart? One of the reasons. 90% of the Psalms was written by David. He always gave thanks to God. It was a lifestyle. And you know what blessed me when I read this man's autobiography? Through the books of Kings and Samuel, and I read about the Psalms, is the fact that a lot of his Psalms he wrote when he was chased like a dog by Saul. He lived in caves. And he just expressed his thanks to God. Always. And our God, in that process, just blessed him. And David always gave. You can have this. No, you can have that. Oh, look at the patriarch, Abraham. Abraham walking with his nephew, Lot. And then what does Abraham say? Lot, you choose. If you go right, I'll go left. If you go left, I go right, but you choose. And then Lot chooses, and then Abraham takes the bad part. Now, the scary thing is, when Lot's in trouble, Abraham still intercedes. Although Lot stabs him in the back. What a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Oh, how I love what they do. How I love when Scripture challenges me about my daily lifestyle of thanks to the Lord. Where I get up in the morning and then I say, God, I thank you for what I have. And God, so much will be expressed. Let's move on. Bringing glory to God through our speech. Nehemiah chapter 12 verse 8. The Levites were Yeshua, that man, Kadmiel, Sherebiah, Judah, and Mattaniah, who was in charge of the songs of thanksgiving, and he and his brothers. God will always put songs of thanksgiving in your mouth, new songs. If you don't have a new song of thanksgiving, you don't have to be able to sing. You don't really don't have to be able to sing, but God will put a new song of thanksgiving in your mouth. If you see the way he works in your life, if you only see the things that you don't have, you'll only sing about them. You'll always sing about the stuff that you don't have. But if you see how God operates in your life, you will have a new song. You will have a song of thanksgiving in your life. Isn't it beautiful when God puts a new song in your mouth? Colossians chapter 4 verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with the attitude of thanksgiving. Have you ever seen that? The way you pray with an attitude of thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6. The Apostle Paul is in the jail. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. You know why many of us, our prayers don't get answered? It's the way we talk to God. It's an attitude issue. He won't answer you if you're not thankful. He won't answer you if you're ungrateful. He won't answer you if you're nitpicking. So some of the saints, they just walk into the throne room and then they just start talking to God and God gives them what they want and then we can't understand it. And the cycle starts again. Oh God, why does he have to get it but not me? Again, unthankfulness. Why is it happening for her but not for me? Why is he numero uno and I'm second? And then God doesn't answer you because he doesn't hear, oh God, thank you for where I am. Thank you for what I have. Thank you for blessing me. And then a lot of people will look from the outside and they'll say, now there's a man that has something so unique in him. I don't know what it is, but I sure do want that. That's the way God works. That's the way God operates. God is not into abracadabra. I cast a few spells and then God must move. You know, that is why we pray. We think praying is casting spells. Oh Lord of the heaven, come. Do something. That is how we pray. We think God must magically act when we speak. He must now perform. Isn't he God? And it's an attitude problem. But you know, the Apostle Paul says, you shouldn't be scared in everything. Supplication, if you go back to the previous scripture, that attitude in warfare, the attitude in warfare, contentment, that place of God knowing that you're there, I can tell you, it's powerful. Then, Luke chapter 11, verse 17, verse 11 to 19. Watch this. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. 10 malaatses. And they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me, on us. When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, cleansed, healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at the feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed?" Again cleansed. "But the 9, where are they?" Watch this, verse 18. "Was no one found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go, your faith has made you well." Cleansed, healed, well. I was talking to Krishna before we came in here, just about how many miracles happened in people's lives, but they don't give thanks to God. So many people, they don't come up and tell you, "Look at this is what God did in my life. It's a miracle." We keep quiet about it. And some of us, we don't get healed. Our faith doesn't make us well because we don't talk about it. We moan more. And so God gave me another 300 rand, but it's not enough. And so God just, he cleansed me now. But I'm not going to go back to him now. I'm not going to give thanks to him. I'm not going to glorify him. And then Jesus asked, "Look here, there were 10 other guys also." But now what you must understand, the Jews, they were not friends with the Samaritans. The Samaritans, they were really outcasts to the Jews. So now Jesus says to all the Jewish brothers there, "Look here, my brother, a foreigner returned to bring worship to me." You know how many people outside church, not Christians, they now have to give thanks to God better than Christians. It's not sing song for them. It's a real deal. And then Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." The 9 guys were cleansed. The 10th guy, faith made him well. Victory lies in your mouth with thanksgiving. Isn't that exciting? Isn't it exciting? Doesn't that excite you? The fact that when we bring thanks to God by our testimony, we bring glory to Him. Revelation chapter 4 verse 9. "And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks," guys, it's going to happen in heaven too. Revelation chapter 7 verse 12. "Saying amen," or amen, if you really want to be cool, amen. "Blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor, power and might in heaven." Revelation chapter 11 verse 17. "Saying we give you thanks." If you can't, that is why the Apostle Paul said there's going to be a lot of unthankful people. And it's really difficult for our brains to figure this out now. Is unthankful people going to go to heaven? But Paul lists them with a list of, you know why? Because if you can't say thank you, yeah, how are you going to say thank you in heaven? There's one brother getting excited here. So, small group questions. All the small group leaders, take note. Throw him. How often do you testify about God's goodness? How often do you testify about God's goodness? Once a month? Once a week? Once a year at Christmas? Or once Easter? How often, maybe, how often do you complain? Maybe that's a better question. How often do you moan? Will you write that one down also? How often do you moan? Now you have up until Wednesday to think about it. How often do I moan? Following question. Have you grown to a place where you bless people financially or materially in secret? Have you grown to that place where you see somebody's needs and then you just go to a friend, look here, the Lord just laid it on my heart, I must bless that person with 300 rand. Then you just say, look here, would you bless that man with that, but please don't tell him it's me, just tell him it's... Or you come to the church office and you just say into the office, look here, God laid it on my heart to bless this person. I just want to give thanks to God through this. Like the Apostle Paul said, and the reason why we do it in secret, so that we don't have dependency relationships where people look to you for money. See, so when you start giving people money, the relationship changes immediately. I've seen it so many times. Then people get dependent. Can't you give some more to me? We bless in secret. You know why? Because it's a way that you give thanks. It's an attitude of the heart, like the Apostle Paul says. So we bless in secret, even if it's clothes or television, you know. It's just the way that we give. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. We give thanks. We give thanks to financially blessing or just materially blessing people. When was the last time that you financially blessed somebody? When was the last time you just gave something to somebody in secret? The Lord just lays it on your heart. You know that person needs that. You just know it. And then you be creative, make a plan. I always tell my leaders, you make a plan. You know? How can I bless this girl? I'll make a plan and find out what her bank account number is from her mother. And just deposit it in real quietly. Shoo. Real quietly. Nobody has to know. Oh, I love this. Practical applications. All applications should be done in accountability. First of all, before Wednesday comes, you must tell a few strangers about God's goodness in your life. If you're struggling to see that God is good to you, tonight would be a good time to tell Him that. If you're struggling to see that God is really good to you, then tonight would be a good time to tell Him that. Say, God, I can see that you're good to me. And then you need to tell somebody, look here, God is not good to me. So that we can have a talk about it. It's the good eye, bad eye principle, which Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7. The eye is the lamp of the body. And then Jesus says, if that eye is dark, everything will be dark. You know, people... In Afrikaans sê, mooi, daar is soveel mense wat altyd sê, die glas is half vol water. Hy sal altyd sê, die glas is half leeg. Daar is 20 mense, sê, my broer is half vol. Hy sê, nie, is half leeg. You know, a lot of people just feel that the glass is half empty. They never say it's half full. A lot of people will say, look, it's half full. You will always, it's half empty. A negative, nagging spirit that doesn't know or see the goodness of God. A complaining and a grumbling. You know, and Moses had it up to here with some of those people in the desert. When millions of Jews start complaining. And then God says, Moses, get out of the way. I'm going to start. If you read that where God told Moses, I'll start a new nation with you. Now, by that time, Moses was over 80 years old, I think. I think God, the man is over 80. You want to start a nation with this man? You. He's al 80 al man. You know, but God said, I'll wipe them all out. They don't know how to say thank you to me. They complain. The key is to bring glory to God. The key is not to bring glory to you. Don't testify about how cool you are and how cool God thinks about you. And how. The key here is when you talk about, remember the question, how are we going to bring glory to God, is to tell people just about your thankfulness. Thursday, after intercession, I told all the people that were in intercession, you must go to someone and you must tell them about God's goodness in your life. Who did that after intercession? Tani Susan did. Tani Jenny did. I drove to my parents. So when I got there, my dad was there. So now he asked me, so where do you come from? I said, no, we prayed. Oh, you prayed at church? I said, yes, oh, it was great. God is really good for us. My children is really good. My children haven't been sick. And you know that it's not about them being sick, but he's just blessing me in the army. I'm a really happy man. And so my dad was sick. So I thought, oh, then I can pray for him. So I said, Dad, can I pray for you? I prayed for him there. So he says, thanks. You know, I must not buy mal oor Elmarie, my dad. Elmarie comes niks verkeerd to me. In his eyes, Elmarie can do nothing wrong. So the first thing that he said, now tell Elmarie that I love her. You know, he's crazy about it. But now it was just a God moment for me with my dad. It's a God moment. I'm so thankful for that. I don't have those moments with him a lot. But that made it worth my while. I'll tell you, the key is to bring glory to God. Ask God who you should bless materially or financially within the church. And then just check your attitude. How do you give? Who are you going to bless this week? With a meal, financially, materially. Because it's just an expression of your thanksgiving. So I hope you understand now why I stopped praise and worship. Now we're going to praise and worship. I'm trusting God that so many things just shifted in our attitudes. It's not a sing song, sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us, you know. There's something that needs to change within our hearts when we come to church, like the soul said. It's not about me or what can I get out of this. I'm coming to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm coming here to tell him, God, I'm so thankful. God, you know what? Why we can actually be thankful to God every day of our lives, because all the trouble that we get in is our fault anyway. Alle moeilikheid wat ons inkom is in elk geval my onskuld. 90% of it. But you know what? When you do follow Jesus and you are obedient to him, things is not going to be easy, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't be thankful. Because the Apostle Paul was in jail. Joseph was in jail. All 12 were martyred. They were killed. Stephen was stoned. Isaiah and the gang, Jeremiah and the gang, they were captives. In captivity. David was in caves. But the one thing that stood out. And you know what? Can I give you a little tip? When things really get tough, can I give you a tip? I learned this from David. Then you go back. Then David starts writing, oh God, how you led us out of Egypt. Now David wasn't even there. David read about it in the Torah, the first 5 books. Then David writing the Psalms, God, how you led us out of Egypt. How you opened up the Red Sea. How you killed Pharaoh them. Ooh, well, it was sape. God, you great, you drowned them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. It was so beautiful. Then you start reading the Psalms. Then you go back. Lord, how you blessed me and my wife with my first daughter, Carla. En ons eerste plekje waar ons saam gebly het, is gesin, God, I remember about how we lived in the garage. Now, there wasn't hot water. So, ek en Elmarie moes in kommiekies was. Toe sy het sulke kommiekies gekoop. Daar kook ons water. Daar gooi ons nou die water in die kommiekies. Daar kyk ons nou soggens morning live vir Vio en Leanne Manus. Nou was ons met die kommiekies. But now, figure this. My wife bought me a pink kommiekie. Net so groot pink een. Sy kom ons nou ook blauw of swart, ne. Ons man. You know how we stood there in the winter mornings when it's cold and we wash and we talk. I said, God, and how we moved from there to a place in Church Street. What water. And a shower. Woo! Hallelujah. We just showered. No, there wasn't a shower. It was only a bath. It was only a bath. And the third place was in the Vet Street. Shower and a bath. Ooh, now we're moving. But now, behind us was the graveyard. So it was very easy to get difficult. God, my view is the graves. You know, and from there, we moved to a house. But then you just start thinking about what God has done for you. We still have the pink comic if you want to come check it out. No, really, we're still there. We have it. It's there in the shed. If you think I'm lying, it's still there. It's a memorial. I'm going to frame it one day. I'm going to hang it in my own home. That was my first bathroom. How do you think of it? And then you just think of where you were and how God has taken you. I mean, Kenneth, where you 7 years back, where were you? Just think of it. 7 years back, where were you? And I just want to challenge you, if you've never met Jesus before, and you want to make a commitment to say, Jesus, I want to meet you this evening. Start with that. Because my whole life changed the night when I said, Lord Jesus, you come and live in my life. Can we stand, band? Now we're going to do it. We're going to start with sing, sing, sing. Or what are we going to do after that? Okay, one praise song. One more praise song and then we're going to worship. Is it fine? Father, I pray that we will stop and consider. That's my prayer, that we will stop and consider about how good you are to us. It is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Yes, Lord. As you just keep your eyes closed, if you want to make that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, everybody just keep your eyes closed. If you want to connect with Jesus and you want to say, God, please come and live in my heart. Be part of my life. Then I just want you to raise your hands. Is there anybody that wants to meet the Lord Jesus Christ here this evening? We want to pray with you. Is there anybody like that? I don't want you to let this opportunity pass you by. I want you to meet the risen Christ. Because Jesus should be our contentment. Nothing else. If anything else doesn't work out, God must be our source. God must be our contentment. God must be the person that's everything and everything to all of us. He's our everything. He's our all. Grace for grace we have received. He's everything. And if nothing else should come to pass, I know I have Christ. Do you have Christ this evening? If you don't have that relationship with Christ, and this thing is just driving you crazy and to tears and in so much confusion, just raise your right hand, please. We want to pray with you. Who wants to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in that unique way? Is there anybody here? You just want to say, God, here I am. I'm bringing this to you. Can we just see? Just raise your hands in the air so that we can make sure. Is there anybody? There's one hand. There's one hand. Can we just give you a clap? Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Just keep your eyes closed. We're going to start praising and worshiping God now. Is there anybody else? Just come. If you want to meet the risen Christ. If you want to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what we're going to do now. And then to us as Christians, This is going to be a huge challenge in the last days. We must stop being unthankful people. And we must start living life victoriously. You will never live victoriously if you're unthankful. You will never live victoriously if you're unthankful. We got to be thankful. Let's give everything to God. If you want prayer for this, then as we worship, just come. Just bring it to God and just take it. It's now about 5 to 7. We'll just see where God takes this.